Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing this week?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Good, thanks. We're getting into a high political season. This idea of pregnancy termination is certain to arise again. As we look across the country, there's huge variabilities in terms of availability and access to pregnancy termination. You've chosen a poem this week that touches on this, perhaps a little uncomfortable for some people, but it doesn't deal with the politics, it deals with the medicine. As listeners will know, medical methods for induced abortion have come across over the past couple of decades. They've been shown to be safe and effective and feasible alternatives to surgery. In many places in the country, there are not good access to surgical alternatives, so medical options are highly sought after. In the first and second trimester abortion, treatment with two agents, misoprostol and mifepristone, is more effective than treatment with misoprostol alone, and they're currently considered the gold standard for medical abortion. However, misoprostol alone regimens can be the treatment of choice in settings when misoprostol is not available or is too costly. In particular, misoprostol is commonly used as a single agent for second trimester induced abortions in the U.S., but also around the world. So, by way of background, misoprostol is a synthetic E1 prostaglandin. It was developed and approved, interestingly, for the prevention of gastric ulcers. It is not currently approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for uterine evacuations in pregnant women. My guess is that that has more to do with politics than it has to do with medicine. It is approved in its off-label use by a variety of OBGYN and international organizations, including the World Health Organizations and the American College of OBGYN and the Society for Family Planning. So misoprostol administration induces cervical softening and dilation and uterine contractions at all gestational ages and therefore facilitates uterine evacuation. Its potency varies depending on the age of the gestation, the way it's administered. It can be administered in a variety of ways, the dose, the interval, the cumulative dose, etc. You found a poem. It was published in the journal Obstetrics and Gynecology in 2019. It starts on page 137. It attempts to answer the question, is misoprostol alone associated with a high rate of success when used for first trimester abortions of a viable pregnancy? Mark, very interesting question, huge implications. What did they find?
Yeah, this was, I thought, a very interesting study. It was a well-done meta-analysis in the, as you said, Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. It's, you know, it's kind of relevant. I think maybe that was part of the reason I picked it, was in Ireland, there was a recent referendum that where abortion became legal, and for the first time. And interestingly, most abortion services, the physicians who have decided to provide them, it's largely GPs or primary care physicians, not obstetricians, gynecologists, or other specialists. So it is kind of a GP issue here in Ireland. This was an updated meta-analysis of misoprostol alone for abortion in the first trimester of pregnancy. Selected studies included women with viable pregnancies, gestational age ranging from 42 to 98 days, confirmed by ultrasound. The meta-analysis included 42 studies with over 13,000 women. A total of 12,829 were included in the analysis after they excluded about 740 who were lost to follow-up. There were lots of different regimens used and dosing patterns. The most common dose was 800 milligrams, and it was given vaginally in about 81% of women. Most women were instructed to take no more than three doses within 48 hours. Across all of the studies, the overall estimate of the rate of women who underwent subsequent surgical evacuation, so treatment failure, was 22%. Things that were associated with a higher risk of surgical evacuation were using a lower dose of 200 or 400 milligrams, oral administration rather than vaginal or buccal, and when tablets weren't moistened prior to vaginal insertion. surgery was also less common, with a higher allowed number of doses, so women who could repeat it, you know, a couple of times in 48 hours, a longer duration of dosing. And also, when the decision to perform surgery was delayed 3 to 7 days after treatment, there were often some subsequent spontaneous abortions. Safety was demonstrated by the rare need for hospitalization, only 14 women out of over 13,000, so approximately 1 in 1,000. The meta-analysis estimate for either transfusion or hospitalization was 0.7%. So no women died in the reported studies. So bottom line, misoprostol was associated with about an 80% success rate. You're best off if you choose this to use 800 milligram dosing and a non-oral, usually vaginal route of administration, of moistening the tablets before insertion and delaying 3 to 7 days after completing the regimen before deciding to proceed to surgical evacuation.
Mark, very interesting, very achievable, pretty simple. But is this something that the primary care community should be doing, or is this something that we should refer to our colleagues in OB?
Well, I think it varies a lot. I mean, certainly there are physicians who choose not to do it for, you know, ethical or religious reasons.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, no, this is something I think that, you know, is appropriate for an appropriately trained family physician to do. And I know family physicians who do it and who make that part of their practice.
And do they have backup in case it does fail and they need to go the surgical route?
Well, I think that's always sensible to have, you know, a relationship with an obstetrician who you can refer to promptly, and that there's a smooth transfer if that needs to happen.
Nice tip. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. We will talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.